God, I love that one theory they had on Rooster Teeth was that like none of Bane's plans were really that complicated. Like luring all the police underground and then trapping them. But nobody could understand what he was saying. So it's like, go out and shoot every cop, kill them. And it's like, trap them underground. Okay, Bane, whatever you say. He's like, no, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? Just kill them.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, hi. I have a device of manhood with me, and I feel strong. But I'll let it calm down and simmer a little bit for now. Hi, welcome to WTF at TFW. My name is Evangelist, and I'm joined by Seth.
Hello. Start your engines.
I love this noise, though, the most. And then the... Oh, no, wait. I can get this to do it better. Hang on. Yeah, there's a little bit of that ring there on the end.
Oh. That's the sound of a 25 max dart drum.
You ever killed a man with a 25 dart max? I screwed that up.
But no, I haven't killed a man with a 25 max dart gun.
You didn't drum. Have to.
Mag drum.
So, man, we're recording a podcast.
The only disappointment I have is you've finished watching Breaking Bad, so we can't.
I know.
Veer off topic and talk about Breaking Bad during this episode.
Yeah, well, I mean, all I can say is I remain horrendously disappointed that all of the Breaking Bad toys coming out are statues. Yeah. There was a discussion on Twitter earlier today about a Walter White toy, and how he'd be the one who knocks. And I said, the knocking is only the sound of him falling against the side of the door because someone pushed him because he's a statue. And, I felt pretty good about that, but I'm bummed out. I want a posable Walter White. Like I have a,
yeah, me
I, have,
too.
I have a posable Dexter.
Well, when the Heisenberg one first went up on pre-order, the only picture that I had seen was a fairly small one. It looked amazing. And then when I saw bigger images and could see that there was like no articulation, then I was like, oh, forget it. Canceled.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Have you seen the movie This Is the End?
No, I haven't.
Oh. I saw it last weekend. It is hilarious.
Is that the apocalypse and we're following the comedians around movie?
Yes.
I thought the trailer was way funnier than that elevator pitch should ever have been.
I was worried that it was going to be one of those cases where all the funny parts were in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many more funny parts.
Okay, that's good to hear.
I loved it. I think it's one of the funniest movies I've seen in the last 5 years. It is the funniest movie I've seen in the last 5 years.
I'm kind of legit glad to hear that because I had the same. I loved the trailer, and then I was like I actually thought it was a funnier die skit, and then I was like, oh, it's a whole movie. This could like drag out in the worst way, but this was so funny that maybe it didn't, and it sounds like it didn't. So I'm interested.
Well, like back, like way back when, like during the old Hollywood studio system where actors would be under contract.
Yeah.
So, like, these actors only did movies for MGM, and these guys only did movies for Metro Gold, and or that is MGM, or Universal, or whatever. Those studios would periodically do, like, big party movies, where it's like, here's all the actors in our stable in one movie.
Yeah.
And, like, the only one of those I've ever actually seen was titled Jimmy Durante's Hollywood Party. And the whole reason for watching that was it's the only film that has both Laurel and Hardy and the Three Stooges in it. And they have one brief scene, like all five of them together.
Oh, man.
And it was just like, okay, I got to see how this turns out.
How did it turn
and
out?
You could tell Laurel and Hardy didn't want to be having any part of the Three Stooges nonsense. Like, they just had to do it. So it's like them standing there while the Stooges are doing their thing. And they're like, okay, well, later.
I'm out.
But so when I first saw that this is the end trailer, I had no idea what it was. Like, nobody said, oh, you got to check out this movie. It's this. I just clicked a link and the trailer starts. I have no frame of reference. I have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I just see all these actors playing themselves and it's a party. And I'm like, are they resurrecting that old studio thing? And then they show, like, it's also the apocalypse. I'm like, oh no, this is something different. And oh man, I thought it was so funny.
I don't know if I'm going to hit it up in theaters, but I wanted to see it either way because I was so intrigued by the concept.
Yeah, I ran into a friend of mine after we left the theater, ran into him at Costco. And he's like, oh, I saw on Twitter, didn't you see that movie? I'm like, yeah, we just came from the theater. And he's like, is it worth going to the theater for? And I said, it depends on how much you like those guys. He goes, I like those guys, but I think I could wait. I'm like, then go ahead and wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. With comedies, I never know if I want to go in a theater because it can either make the experience better or worse depending on how the audience is. And I feel more like when I see a comedy like that, I kind of want to just watch it by myself so I can just chuckle to myself.
Well, I had showed my dad the trailer and he was like, and I didn't know how he was going to land on it. Either he was going to be like, why did you waste my time making me look at this thing? Or what happened where he goes, that might be pretty good. So last weekend was Father's Day. I'm like, what do you want to do for Father's Day? He goes, oh, I don't know. Oh, you want to see that This Is the End movie? He's like, yeah, let's go see that. I'm like, sold. Everybody wins.
What do you want to do for Father's Day? I was watching that apocalypse movie. All right.
And we both enjoyed it.
Okay, that's cool.
He jumped out of his seat like three times. Like every jump scare that's in that movie got him. So yeah, there you go. TV/movie talk right off the bat. We've salvaged the whole show.
We saved the day. Don't worry.
Saved the show.
Before the next odd episode, I'll watch an episode of Once Upon a Time or something.
I don't know what that is.
It's
watch something I care about. Watch the season 2 of Game of Thrones.
Once Upon a Time I watched some of the first season on a plane. And it was great on the plane, and I really want to watch the rest. It has a following, and I appreciate that. It's a cheesy-ass show that has really, like, every special effect they want to do is just fancy enough to not be able to fit into their existing budget and looks like it, but it has so much heart behind it that I kind of felt endeared by the show. And the guy who plays Caden in Mass Effect is in it as Jiminy Cricket.
Yuck.
And he appears as, like, a human-form Jiminy Cricket psychiatrist. And he doesn't look anything like Caden, and it's really weird listening to him talk, because he still sounds exactly like Caden, which means that that thing about his voice still happens, except that now he's just standing on screen, so his voice is, like, just louder than everyone else's, but sounds quieter. It's really weird.
Well, I think you should watch another AMC show.
I guess. Well, at some point now, I guess I should watch The Sopranos.
Ugh.
In memoriam.
I think you should check out Hell on Wheels. I think that is a show that has potential to grab you. Just because there is a Norwegian that everybody calls the Swede.
Okay, that's already sounding like something that's up my alley.
And the way he pronounces the main character, Mr. Bohannon, the way he pronounces the name, he goes, Mr. Bohannon. I'll just be walking around and just for no reason, I'll say, Mr. Bohannon.
See if anyone catches it.
And then I thought they could totally dude up the show and change his name to Mr. Brohannon, but
see, we're trying. We're getting it. Okay, well, We'll be back next week with more TV talk. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
Transformers. I'm actually really excited about this next topic because now I no longer have to try to describe this image to people.
First topic.
Unreleased Generation 1 Megatron reissue images. So back in the 2000s, if you went to every BotCon, you've already seen this. And I'm so happy I don't have to try to describe this anymore, and it's just out there. The Space Bridge got this and a bunch of other photos that they've been sharing. This is the big one, though. This is the G1 Megatron stateside reissue that Hasbro tried really hard to get released and couldn't get by safety clearance. The pictures that are up right now depict Megatron done in blue and orange chrome. And the follow-up on this was, so it's blue and orange chrome, black down the side like the original toy, with a black gun like the original toy. The face looks like the original toy. Big orange cap on the end of the stock and on the end of the barrel.
Well, the whole barrel is orange.
Yeah, well, everything's orange. I mean, sorry, the, what is it? The extension piece. Silencer?
No. Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, that, I thought you were talking about back the other way.
No, sorry, yes. Sorry. Yeah, the thing that sticks on the front.
I comprehend now.
Ah. So, basically they showed us this and then said that this did not pass toy safety standards. And they showed us this in part to describe how crazy toy safety standards are when it comes to a toy like G1 Megatron. So they said, we did this and they still wouldn't let us release it. That's why we're not doing it. And I think I shared this anecdote on the show before, but basically they were told that if they did G1 Megatron entirely in orange plastic with no paint or stickers, then they could release them. And they decided that probably wouldn't sell very well.
Well, is it just because it was because it's realistic gun shaped? Is that why all this orange isn't good enough?
Pretty much.
What I don't get. Who was saying no? Hasbro Legal, or is there some safety board?
I believe it's a safety board.
Because I've seen cap guns that look like realistic snub-nose 38 revolvers that just have a tiny little orange piece on the end of the barrel.
I want to say it was an external safety board, but part of me now is saying also there's the thing of the Hasbro shareholders and the image the company is supposed to maintain or something like that. I wish I had recorded that panel way back, because they described the whole situation back then. And this panel was years ago, mid-2000s at the earliest, or latest, like, in that, it was in that oaf.
Well, it had to have been before 07, because
yeah,
I had never seen this thing until these pictures came up.
This was a while back. But all I remember is they said that the only way they were able to release this was to do it in solid orange, and they'd have to have no paint. And that would have been crazy. Kind of funny, because that could have been like Magma Attack G1 Megatron.
Because in these colors alone, it looks like a knockoff.
Yeah.
It's like an official knockoff. But like, when these pictures came out, I started seeing all this reaction of like, oh man, this would have been amazing if it came out because it's so crazy looking. But now I'm thinking back to like that time.
Mm-hmm.
If this had come out, I think everyone just would have been mad.
And I remember back then in people reacting to the text description of this, people got a little bit mad. They were like, they were going to do what? And everyone was like, no, they weren't going to do that. They were trying to just see, like, if there's any way to release it. So back then, there was already a reaction of, thank goodness this didn't come out from, you know, your average Joe Public fandom, as I recall. So you're spot on. People would not have... This would have taken the, 6 years of gelling and gestation in the background for this to become endearing, I think, if this came out back then.
And in the meantime, Japan doesn't care, so they re-released Megatron like at least 3 times.
Yep.
So everyone got a chance. Thank you, Japan, for not caring.
Yeah, they crashed the market on that whole thing. Like, no one cares anymore about G1 Megatron.
Or you had your chance to get an actual colored one. So now you see this ridiculous one, and you go, that would be awesome to go with my good-looking one.
Exactly. Yeah, and this was back when, and this was back before Takara had crashed that Megatron reissue market. So this is still when there was only like one, maybe two, I think, Megatron reissues. So it was still kind of a premium toy. I always thought this would have been kind of fun to see on shelves just cuz. But I think it's because of the blue. Like, the blue is actually a very pleasant blue. And I kind of like that side of it.
Yeah, if it wasn't orange and it was more of this blue, like where the original Megatron is all chromed up, if it was like this metallic blue, that would look kind of cool too.
I'd love to see that come out as a G1 Megaplex.
Yeah. But like the orange is awful.
Well, yeah, it's
the orange blue combo is terrible.
That orange is safety ass, safety orange. Like, I believe it's even the specific Pantone called Safety Orange.
Yeah, well, with all my recent nerfings, I've become familiar with Safety Orange.
You've come to know Safety Orange as a...
Yeah, I know. Yo, ask me anything about Safety Orange.
Unwanted guest in your house.
Yeah, and, like, not to jump ahead, but, like, all this talk of painting Nerf guns, I've been told that I guess some conventions get uptight about prop guns for cosplayers that don't have orange barrels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually taking that in consideration when I'm planning out some of these color schemes. Like, what do I think the ultimate goal of this is going to be? Like, is this something just for me? Is this something I'm going to want to try to sell? Is this something I'm doing for somebody else? Like in the event of eventually doing one of these for at Dashiana for her cosplay, the rules are different in Finland. They don't care about safety orange. It doesn't have to have safety orange. Mm-hmm. So it's I've spent more time thinking about safety orange in the last couple of weeks than I ever have collectively for my entire life.
So you're the one who could probably best visualize a G1 Megatron done entirely in safety orange.
Yeah. Now, if it was entirely orange, that would be crazy cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that combination of metallic blue and safety orange that is just awful. And that's what makes it attractive. That is so dumb looking.
Yeah. It's like this weird Megatron who really wants to look like Impactor, but kind of doesn't. So, I'm super glad that this is out in the public view. And people can, like, you know, this has been around for so long, but it was all, like, kind of just through us talking about it, or Hasbro, like, sneaking it into a PowerPoint presentation. So, as always, you know, big thanks to the Space Bridge for all the stuff they share. They've also got some other things, like Takara's original G1 Metroplex prototype, a mock-up of what would become Diaclone Trax, early Trypticon and Predaking prototypes, all that kind of stuff. Links in the news item. Check it out. Toy history is kind of fun. Especially when it's full of things like Safety Megatron.
I just like that's his name.
Yeah, ever since that BotCon, I think just everyone collectively just started to call him Safety Megatron.
That'd be awesome if it came out and that was on the box.
I was going to say...
Safety Megatron.
This is the kind of thing that BotCon or TFCon or eHobby, I would love to see them do this somehow if the right toy came out. Like, just the right opportunity hit to have, like, a cool-looking Megatron toy that you could then paint up in this awful color scheme and just call him Safety Megatron.
Well, now I'm imagining before the Great War, before Megatron became a Decepticon, his name was Safety Megatron, and he helped people cross the street.
Yeah. And everyone's like, man, your second name is pretty scary.
I'm pretty serious about safety.
I am the Safety Megatron.
You will cross the street safely or pay the penalty.
Anyway, check that stuff out if you haven't seen it already. It's a big part of Transformers history, and it's also a really goofy part of Transformers history. Let's move on from that picture to some more pictures. Seth, what is your new picture pick?
Aye, this is something we talked about in the past.
Aye.
Perfect Effect. P-E-D-X. 02 Arachnia.
That's a lot of part net number type of things.
Actually, it's not Arachnia. It's Arania.
Arania.
Arania. Michigan.
Whoa.
So before, when we had talked about it, it was just like the prototype gray pitchers. Now in color.
Full glorious color.
And it looks pretty amazing in color. I was doing a pretty good job of ignoring it in gray. And now I'm giving it a second thought in color.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a really cool, really unnecessary detail, now that she's in color, is her little kneecap plates look like Beast Wars Black Arachnia masks.
I hadn't noticed that.
You had or hadn't?
I hadn't noticed that. Oh. And now I can't not notice it.
Right. I noticed it just before we started recording. I was like, wait, what? Am I seeing this right? And her gun looks super cool. I love that style in her gun. Oh, it looks like a handheld rail gun sort of a thing.
Yeah.
That looks rad.
I just love how the spider legs look mounted on her back.
Yeah. Well, I think the spider separated. The spider looks great.
Yeah.
It kind of takes away from her without the spider on her back. I think the robot mode suffers. But the spider looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
By itself. So yeah, I have to rethink this whole thing. I mean, I still don't know if I want to spend that kind of money on it. But man, there's so many paint apps.
Yeah, seeing this, like the full paint work, I now see why this costs so much this time around. Like look at the gradienting on the tips of the spider legs. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And that's leaving out, like, all the red details. Red is one of the hardest colors to use to pick out detail on, like, a mass production level. And they're using it everywhere. I'm super tempted by this just because I want to see this paint job in hand. It looks really good.
Yeah, like the intake vents that are like part of the spider's face are multicolored. Like it has the gold trim around the red interior and it's gray on the outside. And it looks like there might be like a little bit of black deeper in too.
I'd missed that part. I was so fixated on the gradient on the legs.
Yeah, this thing's got tons going on. And there's lots of different colors. There's black and gold and purple and red, but it doesn't look like a mess. Everything makes sense.
Yeah, I definitely see where the price, like, regardless of whether or not I want to pay it, I see why this costs as much as it does. And I think that was a smart decision to make, because now it's making this toy, like, not only is this an extensive remold, it also has, like, way more paint than the original.
Yeah, and complicated. It's not just simple paint apps. There's lots of individual and then paint next to paint. And yeah, it looks pretty, pretty rad.
Yeah. Like if you're on the fence, just that's what you're paying for. Or that's what you're paying extra for is that paint. So if you're on the fence, I'd say just think about whether you want to have that in hand or not, just for that paint job alone, if not all the other stuff.
The one aspect I would point out that I think is maybe a little lacking is maybe the face sculpt is a little not all it could be. Mm. But that's the only thing from these pictures I can look at and point out as a criticism.
Yeah, I think it looks great. The face sculpt, I think it's mostly actually the face paint. I don't like how everything I just said about the paint, I don't like how the gray of the face seems to crawl up the inside of the ridge of the helmet.
Yeah.
I wish that was black on the inside of the ridge.
Yeah, you might be able to fix that up with like a Gundam marker or something.
Demerit. Lay down a demerit.
Lay it down.
Yeah. This thing was already supposed to be out. So I think this got bumped to the end of this month. I recall correctly?
I'm not sure. A lot of stuff's been getting bumped in my experiences.
Yeah.
But I got a whole bunch of things that got unbumped.
Oh?
My pile of loot has been growing like nuts. But it started growing far too late to have any effect on today's episode.
Oh. Yeah, I got a, like, Downforce landed in my pile of loot, but I don't want to ship just him, so he's chilling out there. And I actually got my HLJ pile of warehouse privacy, whatever, just suddenly got a big Transformers Go dump in it. But there's no point sending that right now because I'm not going to be around next week.
What?
Oh, I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see this thing in person, and I suspect probably will at the end of July. So I'm gonna kind of hold my breath until I see that. Hey, so that's a third party toy.
Yeah, it is.
I'm gonna talk about something that's double third party.
Double third party, six party.
Double third. This is a a third party toy that's an exclusive to the third party, which is happening at BotCon. So, Renderform, Vengsta. On his Facebook, for the last couple weeks, he's been tooling around with a Megaplex head for Prime Dreadwing so that the BotCon Megaplex can have a proper Megatron head. And it looks like he's got it ready to go so that at the third party at BotCon for $35, he's going to sell this kit where you get a Megaplex head and you get these gigantic versions of the Flip Change Jets pair of guns that could be plugged together. Like, you know how the old Flip Change Jets had, like, a pistol and then a big thing you could stick on the front? Like, they're the little two-part guns they had?
Yeah.
This is a big version of that. And is easily the draw of this kit. The head is also pretty cool, and exclusive to this version, which will be at BotCon, the helmet is designed to come off so you can switch faces. So there's, like, two face sculpts, which I think one's just a bit rounder than the other one.
Uh-huh.
Apparently when he sells this on its own, it'll just be a solid head. So I kind of like this because my biggest problem with that Megaplex toy they're doing is that I thought the head just doesn't fit, and now I really want to see how in the proper colors it looks with this head on it. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because on just this standard colored Dreadwing, it kind of, I'm looking at it, I don't really feel like the design fits that well with the body. Well, yeah. Like the rounder faced one looks more out of place than the more squared off face one.
Yeah, I like the squared off face a lot more.
Yeah, the squared off face fits better, I think.
And I think that definitely this is made for a different color scheme, so it's going to stick out even more on this body. I very much want to see how this turns out on the intended neck stump in, I guess, next week. I kind of want to pick this up because, I mean, I like Renderform stuff, and I like the idea of quote-unquote fixing the toy at the show. it's not quite as virtuous as the Soundwave headbands, as this thing actually, you know, costs money. And I'm not saying that it's unvirtuous because it costs money to make things. That's a big spoiler I'm going to let out in this podcast right now. It actually costs money to make things.
I just think it's funny a third party not waiting to be there on the spot.
Yep, in a big secret third party as well in a hotel room. So this is also bait for the IP infringement police to show up at the door, pounding on the door, going, "We know you have the product in there. I'm stealing your bit."
That's exactly what I did at last year's BotCon.
I know, but now it's like there's like literally like the stuff that is designed.
What you are doing in there?
It's designed.
Opens the door.
This stuff is, like, designed for something that is for sale at the show. So it's like, get this official thing at the convention, then sneak into a hotel room to buy the thing that makes it look better. It can't stand for this offense much longer. Anyway.
That didn't sound very German.
Well, I have actual German relatives who sound like that, and everyone says that.
Really?
I think it's hilarious. I try to ape...
Well, it doesn't sound like a Gestapo agent or officer.
I guess. I try to ape my actual German relatives in the way they speak German, and most people say, that's not a German accent. And I'm like, bleh?
It's not German enough.
It's like, Germany evolved past that accent. Now they all just sound vaguely British.
Ew.
I know, British, right? Just like Mikey. So, that third-party event is looking pretty fun. They're also going to have, again, I guess slightly kind of trolling BotCon, they're going to have a shattered glass version of Box Bomber, the Beast Box third-party thing by Keith's Fantasy Club. So, that and this are the two exclusives at the party.
That's one of the things on my pile of loot.
Whoop. Yeah, that suddenly came out. I suddenly saw Jared and the Rainer posting pictures of theirs, and I was like, wait, when did you... I missed that coming out.
Yeah, mine's in a loot.
Eh.
And then I was going to ship my loot the other day, and I went, I'll wait a little bit longer, and like two or three more things went into my loot today. And I went, oh, I'm glad I didn't ship the other day.
And I heard that. Well, are you also now in that position of like, if waiting 2 days meant these things dropped in, should I wait a bit longer just in case? Or is your list pretty much caught up now to July?
To June? No, I think there's a couple more things, but I don't think any of it's on topic. And I think I should ship as sooner than later to get it here before the next show.
Mm.
So, oh yeah, the... yeah, what converted today were the Cogs and Bushwhacker, and
those are out too.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm missing.
Yeah, everything. Cogs and Bushwhacker. Denkark, Kurger, and Veer.
Hmm.
Downforce, Box Bomber. Those are all in my pile of loot now.
A whole lot of things that are infringing on intellectual property.
Yeah, everything else that could be this month is off topic.
Damn. Well, the third party thing happening at BotCon.
Happening in my pants.
That's right. Something I'm hoping to do is get live streaming running from that third party. So, ideally, all the folks who can't make it should at least be able to get a glimpse of what it looks like in there, if I can get that streaming system set up. So, I want to share. I want to share and enjoy. And speaking of that, I have a quick pair of headlines about events happening. TFCon 2013 has posted their preliminary event schedule. Sorry, not preliminary. Their tentative event schedule. And there's a couple interesting things in here. Me and PR are doing the fan media panel again. We're tightening it up. Because there's now actually a comic panel and a cosplay panel, we're going to keep it mostly to podcasts and videos. Although if Josh Perez and Mirai Baby show up at the thing, I'm going to shout at them and like throw things at them.
Shoot Nerf darts at them.
I was not thinking about that because it's this thing is in my possession is still new to me, but I think that's a very good idea.
And have them turn off the lights first.
Yeah. Hey, can everyone turn off the lights for a second? Ignore the sound.
Yell, put your cell phones away like the reincarnation of Steve Jobs.
And also later that night, there's going to be karaoke, which I heard about early on. I was actually asked if they did karaoke, would I sing in it? And I said yes, because karaoke's awesome. So,
yeah, there was talk of karaoke happening at the BotCon at Disney.
Yeah.
And times and locations got confused, and we left the location was going to happen before it happened, and then we heard it happen later.
Yeah.
And I was just really looking forward to making a fool out of myself.
Yeah, like, on the bright side of TFCon, at least the venue's more under the control of the staff, so it should actually happen on time. What I remember, though, at Disney is that even if it had started, most of us were seated in an area where there was a huge pillar between us and the stage, so we wouldn't have been able to see it very clearly.
Pillars.
That's right. big, fat pillars.
Well, we could have moved.
No, that's impossible.
Because the plan was we went to the location early to eat first, and then we were going to stay for the karaoke.
Karaoke.
But yeah, now, this karaoke at TFCon, is it going to be like a full-blown deal where there's like all kinds of your favorite songs, or is it thematic?
Okay. Now, I don't know anything about this other than a semi-drunk conversation I had at the last convention they ran a couple months ago. As I understand, it's going to be proper karaoke with a proper karaoke catalog. And I'm sure if they can sneak some Transformer stuff in there, they will, especially with Daniel being involved, because Daniel really wants excuses to sing Car Roboto. But I believe the basis of it is proper normal karaoke.
Okay, because that's what I'm more interested in.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Transformers karaoke is fun if you're just with a group of friends, but if that's the only stuff to sing at a Transformers convention, everyone will have sung all the good songs within the first, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah, or it's like the fifth person getting the touch.
I'm gonna do the touch, guys!
Because we have three options.
Yeah.
We have the TV theme, we got the touch, and we got Dare.
Well, you know, Stan Bush is hard up enough for money. I bet you if they wanted him to, he could just show up to play the music for you for the touch.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the deal, and he's playing live.
Creepy guitar guys in the background.
Creeping on you.
I miss Creepy Guitar Guy. That was a thing for so long. That was an exciting time.
Yeah, like I see videos from like anime cons, and it's like karaoke night at blah, blah, blah con. I'm like, I'm curious, click, and it's just all like, oh, people singing along with the theme from this anime show. And it's like, ah, that's not what I'm looking for.
And you know what's weird about that is most theme song singles from Japanese TV shows will include a karaoke version on the disc. So no one has an excuse for that.
Yeah, well, and it's that too sometimes, or okay, most of the time probably, but just the, oh, anime theme song, I'm not interested in that. I'm looking for like all your favorite hits from the 80s yeah, and 70s and today or whatever.
Well, I mean, I got my mainstays. There's a couple things I always like at karaoke. Like I like Fastball's The Way. That's a good one. Although I did karaoke in Portland last year and I got really spoiled because they had Nine Inch Nails karaoke, and that was some fun ass karaoke. Let me tell you, dude, karaoke head in a hole is amazing, because you know the stories that they always have being shared of like Trent Reznor's, like it was such a cathartic experience doing that song live. Doing a karaoke of that song is a cathartic experience.
I would want to do the Devo version. I prefer the Devo version. And whenever I state that, somebody reacts very negatively to the statement.
I don't.
What are you talking about?
I don't prefer the Devo version, but I respect your decision. And there are some people who are extremely, particularly that first album, there are some people who are pretty hate machine. Some people are very protective of that. I sometimes on the Cape radio, and I got this from another DJ, we have a version of Closer, which is made entirely out of Super Mario Brothers sound effects.
That sounds rad.
And some people get a little bit twitched by that. Then we have a version of, I think it's Closer or Head Like a Hole, but it's sung in the form of lounge music.
Was his name Richard Cheese?
Yeah, Richard Cheese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My friend had
Nine Inch Noels. That's the one. Because it's a Christmas one. And I distinctly recall almost every time I've ever played Nine Inch Noels, someone in the chat has gotten visibly like agitated, if not angry.
That's people taking one band too seriously.
Yeah, definitely. But
acting like Radiohead fans.
I'm going to say I did put in the word when I heard this karaoke thing brought up by the staff. I said immediately that if they can get Nine Inch Nails karaoke in there, then I will do all the Nine Inch Nails songs possibly in a row. And that would be great. I don't think they could find it because I have no idea where this place in Portland found it. But yeah, it should be interesting.
Yeah, every time I think about wanting to go for it on karaoke, I personally, I either want some deep cut Devo songs that I know aren't going to be there. Is if there's going to be any Devo songs, it's only going to be Whip It.
Yeah.
But I want some of the ones nobody's heard before because those are my favorites. Or I want to sing something that is like from like a female singer, like a song that you wouldn't expect a guy to be singing.
I love doing that. I also like, and I this is never a karaoke, which kind of sucks because it's in Rock Band, but there are a couple Lady Gaga songs, which I think are really fun to do karaoke with. And, I've only ever seen them in like Rock Band, and most people don't set up Rock Band as a karaoke machine.
I want to do My Boyfriend's Back.
That'd be kind of awesome. I dig that.
And just so nobody needs to tell me, I know Me First and the Gimme Gimmes already did that. I have that album. I'm aware. And that's part of why I would want to do it.
And this is all just on Friday of TFCon, so blam.
I wish I was going.
It goes without saying we're going to be raising one for you a couple times.
And when Dashi was visiting, I was saying how rad it would be because I had bought a lottery ticket a couple days before she came, but that drawing hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, it'd be cool if I win. I haven't bought a ticket since then. I'm like, it would be cool if I win, and I'm not going to tell anybody. Like, I'm not going to announce it on Twitter. I'm going to go ahead and get my fast track on my passport, and I'm going to go to TFCon and not tell anybody. I'm just going to show up.
That'd be cool as hell.
But I didn't win that lottery, so I'm not going to show up.
Bastards!
And it would be then, like, I really started going crazy with the scenario. I'm like, so what else would be awesome is if I could fight in one person. Like, one person knows. And I get them, at the bar the first night to, like, get, like, the bar to play over a PA or something. Like, Hulk Hogan's old theme music, The Real American.
Yeah.
And, like, come into that. Like, just start having that music play, and then people, like, stop and be like, what the hell is that Hulk Hogan? I am the real. And then, like, come walking through the door all strutting.
Championship belt over one shoulder.
Yeah. And, like, a luchador mask with an American flag pattern. So people won't know that it's me at first. And be like, who the hell is that? And then I'll pull off the mask.
I'm not Hulk Hogan, brother. I'm Mr. America.
And then have the one person I was colluding with be a Canadian, and they could have a Canadian luchador mask, and then we could fight.
Mr. Canada.
But that's not going to happen, because I didn't win the lottery.
Yeah, thanks, listeners.
Yeah, thanks for nothing, California State Lottery.
You jerk bastard.
Everyone who thought that would have been cool should write the California Lottery Commission.
Like, and right
tell
now.
Them to just tell them to give me the prize.
You have a month. Get on it. Some of the other stuff happening here on Saturday, the guests are going to be doing Q&As kind of back to back. There's going to be the third party product preview panel. This is the thing that I don't, TFCon awards. What are those? Are those the contest? And I mean, you're not affiliated with it, so I'm kind of just shouting this in the ear of the staff members.
Answer for them, Seth Buzzard.
Seth Buzzard, representative of TFCon. The TFCon Awards, are those just the costume contest and art awards, or is this like some kind of weird, like, if they're not doing a Hall of Fame, we're doing a Hall of Fame thing?
Yeah, no, it's that, but for third-party stuff.
Okay. So, like, best silhouette on a white background preview of a toy kind of thing.
That's one thing, yes.
Okay, good.
Also, best sculptor, and all the nominees are unknown Chinese sculptor. Because nobody knows who these people are.
That's racist to assume they're all Chinese.
Well, if they're Chinese companies, then it stands to reason.
It stands to reason.
Okay, well, like, three of the four nominees are Chinese and one's
Korean.
Lithuanian or something. I don't know.
All right. And also, this all happens in the space of 15 minutes, apparently.
Yeah. So, well, you know, there's not that many categories.
Okay.
And none of the winners are going to show up.
They only get eyeballed by.
Right. Well, they can't get a visa to travel to Canada.
That's right. Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty quick.
I can respect that. It's just
reading off a list.
I'm an
official CFCon representative.
You are. Can you give me any hints about what the live script reading is going to be about this year?
Well, first, all I could tell you is we're going to record it, and then we're going to take the recording and throw it in the ocean.
Right, because that's what you do with live script reading recordings. Right, okay.
And we're going to threaten to murder anybody that releases it before we throw it in the ocean. Or after we throw it in the ocean, for that matter.
I have a story to share when we get to the other convention part of this. So after that, only Canadian Transformers fans are allowed to assemble for a group photo outside the hotel entrance.
Whoa.
So all of you Americans visiting, you better not get anywhere near that group photo because it's not for you. It's for Canadians.
I really wish I was there now. Because I would be doing my best to disrupt that photo.
It's the Canadian Transformers fans group photo. No Americans allowed. I'll be checking your passports.
I would have my Star Spangled Luchador mask, and things would be happening.
I want to stand in front of the photo just checking people's papers. Please present your papers.
I'm going to be hiding in the bushes. I'm going to jump out. Right before the picture gets taken, there's just going to be one Star Spangled Luchador face in the crowd.
For spacious skies!
Amber waves of your ass got kicked!
And 10 minutes after that happens, because it's a Transformers convention, they're going to screen the 1986 Transformers movie, as constantly always happens before the faction feud. People sit down to watch it, so.
All right.
Yeah,
there's an audience for that.
Don't yell at me. No, you represent that decision. So, yes, I am yelling. People sit down to watch that!
What kind of people?
Transformers fans.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
Those are the kind of people that should sit down and watch it.
Confused hotel staff. They're saying, where's Megan Fox? And then after that's going to be the faction feud, which is always a good loud time that hurts my throat. And then, all about officiality here. The only time that you are officially at a TFCon after party, okay, is after 10 p.m. on Saturday. Any assemblies claiming to be a TFCon official after party, or any after party for that matter, are going to be A, considered unofficial, and B, not sanctioned. So, you know, if you get stuck full of HIV needles, it's not TFCon's fault.
Man, I wish I was going even more now. Because while the official party was happening, I would declare a section of the room being the third party party. And not directly affiliated with the TFCon official party.
You should call that section of the room the BotCon after party. Just get it. Get right in their face.
Yeah, get up all in their biz.
That's right.
To be like, what? What, Colin? I'm up in your biz.
Hobby ain't cheap over here. The beer is. Ba-bump.
You guys keep supporting third party at your convention. Well, guess what? It just bit you in the ace.
None of you can sit at my table. That takes us into Sunday. Where there will be a cosplay panel about the creation of comic books, featuring guest James Roberts, the How to Get Into Voice Acting panel, TFCon staple, done almost as a joke response to a very constant Q&A question, but it's actually quite a successful panel. It's going to be a costume contest, et cetera, panel about prototypes and lucky draws and other rare toys. At 4 o'clock, there's going to be a Q&A with the convention organizers, and, you know, I think, because after that is going to be the live recording of WTF at TFW, I think we should just start walking onto the stage at about 4:15 and just kind of sit there. Maybe stand behind the organizers and just start massaging their shoulders or something. I haven't come up with a solid plan yet, but I think we should try to bull bait our way into starting before 5 o'clock.
I would be all up in that if I was going. So is it just going to be you and Aaron?
Me and Aaron. If Gog is there, I'm gonna offer.
Is he still going?
I don't know. I'm assuming he is. If he's there, I'm gonna ask him if he wants to come on, because
he should. If he's there, he should. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah, he has a duty to uphold.
Yeah.
To this fandom.
One last gasp.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a dying fish.
But if he can't come on, then you know we'll invite all the pre-order 66 people to come up to the front of the room and then tell them to sit back down.
Yeah.
Except
for now that we said that, they'll know what's up.
I know, that's why we're going to do a swerves. They're going to be all ready. I'm just not going to invite them up to the front of the room.
Actually, do any of them listen?
I don't know.
I don't know if any of them actually listen. Unless they're on, those egomaniacs.
I know. Like, and this is a two-man. They might be skipping this one. Like, oh, it's just two of them. Why? We don't need to listen. We don't have to listen to this to know what the competition's up to. We don't have to. This isn't going to enter into our strategy planning meetings.
Or only have D-Fuzz come up.
Yeah.
Because he's been on this show more than any of the other ones.
That's right. Especially if we factor in gamepads.
Yeah, he's closer to a member of this show than any of them are.
I like how without any of them present, even D-Fuzz, we're casting D-Fuzz into a role in this.
We're just sticking a wedge in pre-order 66 and hammering it in.
Hey, you know that Dan guy? He's ours.
He should be running that whole thing. You know, the good Dan, not the other Dan. They're all named Dan, right? That's why they use internet names like D-Fuzz and Crasis and Jack Sack, because they're all actually named Dan.
Yeah, it would be a very confusing podcast to listen to if they were. And then after that, again, at 9 p.m., you may begin to have your official TFCon post-convention wind-down party in the bar. This is there. TFCon post-convention wind-down party, 9 p.m.
You see, I was on board with all of these things, wishing I was going to be there. Until that is so dumb, I'm glad I'm not going to be present anymore. That's ridiculous.
So which part would you change? The 9 p.m.? Or the use of the word
official
wind down
party.
Well, I'm going to admit, the word official isn't in the listing on the Sunday wind down party. I added that in because the word TFCon is there.
Wind down party. Now, if it was wine party and everyone's drinking wine, then I'm back on board.
Classy. That's what that is.
Yeah. Everybody, like, got a bucket next to them. They're swilling around, spitting out. You know, classy.
Yeah. Good stuff.
The official
like that.
TFCon wine party on board. Wind down? No. You should never be winding down. You should always, always be amping it up.
That's right.
In all situations, all the time. Always amp it up.
Always ride on the seat of your pants, one finger gripping the edge of the danger zone.
You should always be striving to be the most at everything.
That's right.
At your funeral, you should be the most dead.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's the case, because otherwise that's a funeral that's gone super wrong.
Or super right.
Yeah, it's right.
Depends on the situation.
Also, all these parties are happening in a bar called the Quest Bar. And if you haven't been to the new TFCon venue, I will say, sadly, there is no actual Quest at the Quest Bar.
Is it like a tribe called Quest?
No, there's no tribal culture there.
Is it Quest Love, the dude from The Roots?
No, I mean, there's kind of a blue motif to the color scheme of the Quest Bar.
Is there any way to gain experience points during this quest?
Well, you know, everyone really gains their own experience points in life. But there are no achievements and there are no levels. And as far as I know, there is no loot. You have to actually pay for everything.
It sounds like an awful quest.
That's why you don't go on the quest bar.
A lot of microtransactions during that quest.
Yeah, it's a free-to-play quest bar. You can come in there for free, but if you want to actually have anything, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Not like how it was back in my day. You bought the cart, and they gave you all the drinks.
Another thing I would do if I was going is I would print up little cards with experience point amounts and hand them out to people who did things that I thought were worthy of experience points. And if they gathered enough, then I would proclaim that they leveled up.
Well, you know, we're a month out from this convention. There's still time for the management of TFCon to implement that idea.
But
if we make our voices heard.
That's my idea.
Yeah, our idea. You know, if we make our voices heard and put my idea into motion.
My idea.
And.
You could pay me for the idea. You could license my idea.
Listen, I already own podcasts, okay? I don't need to.
Oh, you're the patent troll that tried to patent podcasting?
I wish I was. I'd be having a very interesting year.
Well, except for you failed.
Yeah, I know.
So you'd be a failure. So you wish you were a failure?
I'm not a failure.
You just wish you were.
That's right. Tired of failing at failing.
I'm just realizing that during this topic, TFCon would be way more rad if I was there because I keep coming up with all these rad ideas.
I know. Well, and you know, it's not like there's no way to contact you. I mean, they could just have you on as surrogate staff.
They could pay for me to fly out.
Fly you in as the guest?
Uh-huh. I still can't get the time off work, though.
With real American Seth Buzzard?
Fly me out for one day. Like, I'll fly in Friday night, and then I gotta jump out Sunday morning, so I could be back to work on Monday.
They fly you out for one day, and then you go to Con Bravo instead.
Yeah, what's that?
That's the other
across the street?
Yeah, it's the other convention that's happening in town on the exact same weekend.
What's Con Bravo? Is it a Johnny Bravo fan thing?
I wish!
Very specific.
That would probably be a really fun convention full of very passionate people. It's like a more generic like anime video game convention. They get lots of internet personality types over there as their guest list. They got Mark Meer coming in as a guest, so you can ask him to say Rex over and over again.
If I came storming in as the Star Spangled Luchador, I probably would not get the same reaction.
It's like, who the hell is this?
Oh, speaking of people saying Rex over and over again, did you play the Citadel DLC?
Most of it, yeah. There's like bits and pieces of it that I didn't actually see firsthand that I'd like to see firsthand.
Did you get to the part where you're hanging out in the apartment?
Yeah.
And Shepard, Rex, and Grunt go in a circle?
Yes.
Over and over again?
It's vindicating. Anyway, that's some TFCon news, which means I can also share a little bit of BotCon news, because BotCon is next week, suddenly, out of nowhere. So two things. BotCon has posted their event schedule, and I forgot to bring it up. So while I'm looking for it, I want to mention that if you are going to BotCon, the TFW 2005 meetup at BotCon is Friday night at 9 p.m. In Charlie's Bar. Now, I don't know who Charlie is. This is San Diego, so this is... Is there a West Coast Charlie that I should know about?
That would be a great name for a pool hustler, though.
West Coast Charlie?
They call me West Coast Charlie. This is my friend, Keith Fantasy.
Keith Fantasy and West Coast Charlie?
We hustle pool and solve mysteries.
Well, his bar is where we're going to have the meetup for TFW 2005. Starts, Friday night, 9 p.m. Foods, drinks, good times, until the hotel shuts things down around 2 in the morning. And there's nothing official.
Before that, they're going to kick everybody out way earlier than 2. 2 is officially last call, but everybody starts booting everybody earlier because they want to clean up and go home.
And that's why I honestly would recommend, if you have nothing else to do, just get there before 9, because people get there before 9. In fact, often, when I show up at 9, it's really crowded and I don't know where anyone is. So
that's called being fashionably late.
Yeah, and I kind of have a knack for it, but...
You want to be missed. You want people to wonder where you are before you show up.
Yeah, then you can make a grand entrance and then...
With your star-spangled luchador mask.
That's right. And then people come up, they're like, hey, what's up? And you're like, hey, I'm sure you know who I am. I'm Mr. America.
I need a star-spangled luchador mask. Listeners, hook me up. I never ask you people for anything.
I wonder if there's a place I could get one of those in town here, like in Canada.
I saw an eBay auction for a Canadian maple leaf luchador mask about a year ago.
Anyway, I found the convention schedule for BotCon. So, want to hear the action-packed Friday schedule?
Sure, why not?
All right, action
packed. When is the official TFCon party at BotCon?
It starts when I get there, and it ends when I leave.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to be the maple-coated luchador?
That's right. I'm going to walk around with my luchador mask. I'm going to burst into the script readings. I'm just going to, like, here, let me just get this out of the way and just break all the audio equipment right away. So, Friday, Transformers Collectors Club comic panel, followed by Hasbro Transformers Publishing. That's Friday. Saturday, Voices of Transformers Prime panel featuring two voice actors from Transformers Prime.
Which ones?
David Sobolov and I just forgot. And I knew
Francis it. Francis McDermott.
Yes. Those two guys. And right after that is the Hasbro panel, where they're also going to be doing the Hall of Fame. I either going to say who won the vote. I forgot who I voted for, but I voted.
I didn't vote.
I decided to vote. I think I decided to vote, and I had some really petty reason for voting, and I forgot what it was.
Now, it seems like the Hall of Fame thing just came out of nowhere, because that was not on earlier schedules and stuff, and we had speculated that it wasn't happening, and we speculated that Aaron Archer being out of the picture was possibly why it wasn't happening, and now it seems to be happening. Does it seem like this was something they went, oh yeah, and then slapped together?
I don't know. I'm imagining now Aaron Archer showing up to the NWO music during this panel.
That would be amazing.
And declaring his new allegiance with Tomy or Bandai. I'm not sure and which.
Well, he declares his own Hall of Fame winner.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Entering the Hall of Fame is Perceptor. Never entering the Hall of Fame is Skylynx. Peace. He busts a chair over.
Yeah, whoever took his place.
Yeah, whoever it is. It's Eric Bischoff. That's the big tip-off when we get in there. Eric Bischoff is just sitting up there.
Holy crap.
Eric Bischoff and, like, Brutus Beefcake are just sitting there on the Hasbro panel.
We're making, you know, something I'm learning is all these conventions should have us involved because we come up with way rad ideas.
I want Eric Bischoff to be the new head of Boys Toys at Hasbro. With his silly leather jacket.
Now, does he start dyeing his hair black again or does he stay gray?
It's got to be black. One gray stripe.
He went gray. No, he went full gray at one point. He was just like, I'm not dyeing my hair anymore. Guess what? My hair is gray.
No, he's got to dye it and leave like a skunk stripe on one side.
Okay. Like a Cruella de Vil kind of vibe.
That's right. That's right. Because he's the new evil boss.
Well, now is he the head of... No, because if Archer's going to come in as NWO, because black and... gray was like the NWO colors.
Archer's Wolfpack. So he comes in and Conan's right behind him, just going all like, Arriba la raza! And everyone's like, oh, no, look, it's Conan.
Archer should come in as Sting.
Oh, just not say anything?
Yeah, with his face painted white like the Crow.
The big black baseball bat just start demolishing the panel room.
and his beard sticking out from the face paint. Like, he painted over his beard.
I'd want this to have build, though. Like, they gotta do a couple of the Sting things. Like, then when he comes in, like, four other fake Stings just gonna get up out of their other fake Aaron Archers just get up out of the audience.
No, first the fakes come out, and then the real Archer comes down from the ceiling.
Yes!
Because Bischoff has taken over Hasbro NWO style.
That's right.
And now Archer's gotta take Hasbro back.
And he's WCW the only man. Style. He's the only man standing between them and complete decimation of World Championship Wrestling.
But they don't call it New World Order. They call it New Matty Order, which implies that it's Mattel taking over Hasbro.
Oh my, okay. Eric Bischoff, hair dyed black with a skunk stripe, that leather jacket, and the Matty Collector Matty crown just on his head. Anyway, that's all that stuff is happening in some other panel in a parallel dimension that's way cooler than this one. After that's going to be the IDW panel. After that's going to... I'm curious about this. This is what they're calling it. The Jason Jansen and Wally Burr Transformers Generation 1 Retrospective.
That's an amazing title.
It is. Because I don't think title. Wally Burr and Jason Jansen ever worked together. Because Jason Jansen was an on-screen actor and Wally Burr is a voice director. So, I'm incredibly curious to see how that panel kind of bends, because it's going to bend in one direction or the other. It's either going to turn into Wally Burr doesn't give a crap and Jason Jansen just hangs out and gets asked really dumb questions, or Wally Burr is just going to say he doesn't have time for this nonsense and he's just going to take over the panel. I think it's going to be one of those two things. Like, we'll find out.
I hope he takes over. And he reveals that he's part of the new Matty Order.
He tears off his shirt to reveal a logo underneath.
And that's just happening over and over. Like, at every panel at some point, at least one panel member reveals that they're joining the new Matty Order.
So then Wally Burr just turns around and gives the diamond cutter to Jason Jansen and spray paints new Matty Order on his back.
And Bischoff comes out to join him, and everybody watching the panel starts throwing soda cups at him.
Well, that takes us to the Rescue Bots cast Q&A happening.
BotCon's going
to
be amazing this year.
Man. Rescue Bots cast Q&A happening right after that. I feel bad that I'm probably still not going to have seen their show by the time I get there. So, sorry, guys. But I'm curious how that's going to go, because I know that show has an audience and a small fan base in our fan base, and I suspect it's going to be a very small, personal kind of... like, it seems like it's going to be a class... I think it's going to be more like an older-type Q&A. Just a bunch of people... handful of people who really like Rescue Bots, the cast of Rescue Bots, just sitting there and reminiscing. That's what I feel like that's going to be. Either that, or it's going to be a whole lot of people asking Maurice LaMarche and Steve Bloom and all the other ones, like, about work they did that wasn't Rescue Bots. One of those two things.
Or they're going to be asked to say things in character voices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with Maurice LaMarche being there, someone is going to ask him to do the Brain. Like, it's unavoidable.
Oh, he's the one that should become the new Matty Order member. And he... By as soon as somebody asks, then he's going to, like, say no and start berating the audience. That's how he makes his heel turn.
And then he just turns around and hits Steve Bloom over the head with his cast because his arm is broken because someone... Yeah.
That'd be good.
Someone attacked him in the parking lot and we don't know who, but it was all a ruse so we could use a loaded cast to hit Steve Bloom over the head and put him out of commission before the end of the panel.
Yes.
All right.
This is working out very well.
So after this is the Transformers Collectors Club Roundtable.
They're all the bad guys.
So this is Brian Savage, Pete Sinclair, and Lanny, I'm guessing, are going to be the three guys. Now, which of them makes the turn? That's the question. Like, we're all expecting something out of Brian Savage. I think Lanny's the one who would end up doing the turn, because no one ever thinks about Lanny.
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. So he's going to be the Ed Leslie of the group. He'll just become the disciple. He doesn't have a name. Starts dressing like Aaron Archer. Anyway, that's going to be one of those roundtables, kind of like last year's, where I'm curious if they're going to they're going to give any indications of, don't worry, all the crazy stuff with our online store isn't going to happen again. As I understand it, it was a little bit rickety when they did a switch over a little while ago, some months ago. And after that, at 4 o'clock, ending the day, the Glenn Morshower Transformers movie series panel. That's another really funny panel name. The Glenn Morshower Transformers movie series panel. Because I'm parsing that as, go there to ask Glenn Morshower questions about the Transformers movie series. Because I like the idea that secretly he's actually like the biggest mind and the hugest scholar on all movieverse fiction and lore. Like, just Glenn Morshower sitting there calmly explaining huge, huge answers to questions about the lineage of Sentinel Prime and the divide that grew between the brothers in arms, Megatron and Optimus Prime. And I didn't notice this, but he's doing the panel twice. He's doing it on Saturday, and he's doing the same panel again on Sunday. They're doing two Glenn Morshower Q&As.
Well, you want to get all the Morshower for your dollar.
What is he going to talk about?
Maybe they're anticipating that once he's a mega superstar, that so many people are going to want to see it, the panel, that they're not all going to fit in the first time. So everyone that doesn't get into the first one will get, you know, a sick tribal tattoo wristband.
Right, right.
To come for the second panel, where he does it all again. Oh, for a whole new audience.
What's he going to...
Well, it's like when a comedian does two shows. It's not going to be the same audience, so he could repeat his material for a different crowd. The people with sick tribal tattoo wristbands.
What's his material going to be?
Talking about his limited involvement in the movies.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure he has really amazing anecdotes about Michael Bay.
All right. I'm holding you to that.
How are you the one that's questioning Morshower? You love him harder than anyone that ever lived.
I love the idea of a Glenn Morshower that I don't think actually exists.
Right.
And I'm really worried that seeing him in person is going to obliterate the image I've created in my head of who Glenn Morshower is.
Oh, I guess that's something to be concerned with. Then.
Like, it's like the episode of Community that LeVar Burton appeared in. Whenever I make this analogy, no one ever seems to understand it, but I know someone out there in the audience has seen that episode of Community that LeVar Burton appeared in. The reaction to him appearing by one character. Right, listeners? Think about that. Another interesting thing is on Sunday, there's not going to be a Rescue Bots cast Q&A, but a crew Q&A. So I'm guessing with the writers and stuff. And before that is a Prime script reading. It is called a Prime script reading, apparently. I'm curious what that... Oh, here we go. It's gonna... Okay. So it's gonna have the two Prime voice actors, James Horan and David Sobolov, Wheeljack and Shockwave, respectively, along with Prime voice actor superstars Jason Jansen and Wally Burr. I'm curious what that's gonna be now.
I was hoping that the reason why you were reacting and laughing was because they already put your name in. Like, they just assumed that somebody was gonna call in sick, and then they would just jump you in.
Yeah, I'm up for it, you know. If they actually release it, that would be great. Also, checking the... I've been reading the schedule off the front page. There's a bunch of stuff the front page left off on Friday, which are the usual bits and pieces, but they're there. I kind of wonder... I feel like I should actually see the Transformers Film Fest on Friday. Like, the fan-made film festival thing?
Uh-huh.
I feel like my never having watched it despite having huge interest in fan-made media is like a kind of grand hypocrisy. So, if I'm awake, I'm going to try to see that.
Friend of the show, Silas, usually has something in there, doesn't he?
I have no idea. I've never been to any of them. I don't know what Silas does in his spare time.
Have you? You've never seen any of his videos? His My Little Transformer videos?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, man.
Friend of the show? Really?
Well, that part's subjective.
Okay.
But he has all these videos. And I know he's entered them in those things before.
I should go and take a look at those.
And I know one of us might have recorded lines of dialogue for an upcoming video that hasn't been posted yet.
I don't know what...
One of us might be the voice of Trypticon.
I guess if someone's calling in sick, I'll be replacing someone for something, so... Sure. Also, I forgot to mention that the cocktail reception and casino night dinner are happening, along with bingo, on Saturday night. I believe it was confirmed that this is going to be a buffet-style casino night, which means tip, if you're going, go get the food first. Because it will be gone before the hour's up. Or cold before the hour's up.
And people might have a chance to win something at bingo night because I'm not going to be there.
That's right. Someone's got to fill that karmic hole and become the Seth Buzzard.
Become one with the me.
Yes. And I think that's all the BotCon. There's the costuming panel. I've never seen that costuming panel. The one that Rosemary Ward does. I've never actually seen that one. And the show closes bright and early at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. So, there. We've laid out the next 2 months of Transformers conventions for you. We've laid out the plot. It's up to you to participate and make sure we all have a good time. I think I'm the only member of this podcast who's going to be at BotCon next week.
Which sure, means that is true.
Yes. So the I'm still going to try to do daily podcasts from BotCon, but I don't know who I'm going to do them with. So we'll see how that goes.
Wally Burr.
That would be fun.
Go for it, man.
That'd be fun.
I'm not going to be there to approach people for you.
I know. I'm all by myself. I can't delegate hard tasks to other people now.
You never delegated that to me. I took the initiative.
That's called quiet delegation.
Jeez. You almost made me swear.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And also, I'm going to spend a lot of evenings at the third party recording stuff. So it's going to be a different BotCon for me. But I don't really mind, because it should still be fun.
You mix it up.
Yeah. I like the... I'm really excited about this third-party thing, because I've always wanted to try doing the E3 or the CES-style thing of a whole bunch of quick video vignettes about new products, and just make a cool bumper and motion to smack on the front of them, and go back to my hotel room that night, edit them together, put them up. I feel like my own little tiny private Revision 3. I'm like a Chinese knockoff Frank Knight.
Well, have fun.
Yeah. Also means I should probably tell Aaron and Omegas that they don't need to record next week.
Oh, man, you're just going to fly solo. Even number episode with nobody.
That's right, it's me sitting in my hotel room. Or me and Jason Jansen.
Like a dream come true for you, isn't it? Ditching all the rest of us.
I know, it's all by myself. Hi, everyone, welcome to WTF for TFW, starring me!
Welcome to Vangelis TF at TFW.
What did I get this week? Anyway, convention time. It's we're hitting that season. San Diego Comic-Con's happening as well very soon.
So. Santa Rosa Toy-Con. What?
Santa Rosa Toy-Con is happening really soon as well.
Yeah, well, it turns out it's the same weekend as BotCon. I thought it was this weekend.
Oh.
I was incorrect. It's next weekend.
Damn.
So I will be at a con. Yo, so everybody attending Santa Rosa Toy-Con, the one-day toy convention, find me.
Listeners, get the word out there. Santa Rosa Toy-Con. When's the official TFCon after party going to be at Santa Rosa Toy-Con?
I don't know, because I'm probably just going to like do a lap around the dealer room and then bail.
I'm going to go home.
Let me find you this guest list.
The guest list?
Yeah, let me tell you who's going to be at Santa Rosa Toy-Con.
All right, let's get ready. I'm rolling my sleeves up.
Lou Ferrigno?
As in Lou Ferrigno from the movie The Cage?
Well, Pumping Iron.
That's right.
And The Hook. Somebody named Tony Todd?
Oh, I know him. He was The Fallen, and he was Dreadwing. Oh, and he was Candyman.
All right. Kanzi McCurr. Who, in the picture, she has a Battlestar Galactica outfit on.
I never saw that show.
She's from Battlestar Galactica.
Go to her panel and start yelling frack over and over again.
Thomas Yates. Best known for being the illustrator of the comic strip Prince Valiant.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
My mom would flip her nuts about talking to someone from Prince Valiant. Can you get him to sign a piece of paper or something for my mom?
I will try to remember.
Okay. Granted, I might be mistaken. My mom is also very much like an OG fan of Prince Valiant who hates all the new things. But no. I think she'd appreciate it anyway.
Melissa McCommon from the comic Epic Chaos. The Bear Area R2 Builders Association.
Oh, okay.
Representatives of the 501st Legion.
The 501st are going to be at a convention?
Yeah, I know.
Are you mind? Don't blow mind. My mind here. Hold on.
Mind breaking.
Oh, okay.
Steve Olaf.
I
think he's a comic artist.
Okay.
Some other comic book people. Robin Goodrow. If you were a child in the San Francisco Bay Area, late 70s, early 80s, you may have known a local children's program called Buster and Me. Robin Goodrow was the human lady that had to put up with the crazy antics of the crazy monkey puppet characters. I'm actually really kind of excited that she even still is alive because I loved that show when I was tiny.
This sounds like me getting to meet one of the YTV PJs at a convention. Like, I would be so excited, but I would have no idea how to convey that to anybody else on the planet.
Yo, you've heard of Lassie, right?
Yes.
The kid from Lassie, all grown up, he's going to be there.
Are people going to bring their dogs for him to, like, be endeared to?
Maybe. The Creepy Coffee Movie Time, they're going to be there. That's another local program.
Okay.
And then, like, a whole bunch of people. But I've been saving, you know, I opened with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah.
You might be thinking, why Lou Ferrigno before Creepy Coffee Movie Time? Like, why are you starting the show with a showstopper? Why did you start with the big name and then just descend into more and more obscurity? That's because I was saving one for last.
Oh.
The one. The only. The living legend. The Honky Tonk Man will be in attendance.
I went to the wrong show. I signed up to go to the wrong show.
Correct. This is what you do. I assume you've already booked your flight to San Diego. Get to San Diego. Jump on a Greyhound bus and head north.
Make my honky-tonk pilgrimage.
Yep. Make your honky-tonk dreams come true. Actually, here's what you could do. Because this is on Saturday. Sacrifice Saturday at BotCon. You'll have Thursday, you'll have Friday, you'll have Sunday. You're just going to bail on Saturday. You're going to head back to LAX. You're going to hop on an Alaska Airlines flight. Because Alaska Airlines flies from LAX to Santa Rosa Airport. And you're practically there. You go to Santa Rosa Toy Con. You get your Yates autograph for your mom. You get some honky-tonk action. And then you fly back down to BotCon.
This seems like the subplot of the grand plot where I go to get the honky-tonk man to help me fight the NWO. And get them...
Yes, you gotta bring them back.
I come back to BotCon with him, and we just start busting acoustic guitars over everyone's head.
Oh, it's gonna be glorious. All those balsa wood guitars.
He's come with a huge rack of them, just all on a chain. Just crack, snap another one off the chain, smack one over someone's head.
The Honky Tonk Man and the Maple Luchador will be the ultimate tag team.
Oh, man. You've got to get the Honky Tonk Man, you got to record him talking about something. I don't care what.
I'll see what the situation is.
Yeah.
But like that 07 BotCon when I got people to record bumpers, if I could get Honky Tonk Man podcast bumper, then it will all have been worth it.
You'll have done better than anything I can hope to do at BotCon.
If not making it to BotCon or TFCon, I could make up for all of that for about 10 seconds of Honky Tonk Man audio.
Oh, man.
And then I'll reach for the brass ring and also try to get Lou Ferrigno.
I would love Lou Ferrigno doing a bumper for a podcast he has no idea about. Honky Tonk Man as well, but Lou Ferrigno, there'd be something special in that.
I have a feeling that the Honky Tonk Man might be more approachable. I imagine Lou Ferrigno will probably be drawing a much larger crowd. That is not to say that the Honky Tonk Man does not deserve a much larger crowd.
The Honky Tonk Man just doesn't feel the need to have a much larger crowd.
No, he knows who he is.
Yeah, he's the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah, you don't need to placate his ego.
Yeah.
He'd actually probably be irritated at a big crowd.
I really want a Honky Tonk Man action figure now.
I bet you anything they exist.
I know they exist. I know I've seen them. I think that's got to be my new 2014. That's my quest. I'll probably be able to solve this within the next month and a half. But
at the quest bar?
That's right. I'm just gonna stand there, take off my helm, lay my chainmail down on the counter.
Your +4 Vorpal sword.
I seek an effigy of the man named Honky Tonk. And then I'll just get pelted with Rampage Jackson action figures, and it'll all go crazy.
Not those.
Friggin' Ian. Anyway, let's do a listener question.
Okay.
I got a listener question from someone on YouTube called Everything So Special.
Is the question about the Honky Tonk Man?
It could be.
It better be.
All right. Here,
if you want me to not zone out.
I'm going
to
do a bit of on-the-fly editing here. Okay. Hi, Odd or Even Team. I have a couple of questions for you. First question, what Honky Tonk Man do you want to see get the masterpiece treatment?
The Honky Tonk Man.
Okay. But which costume? Like with the full jumpsuit on or just the spandex pants?
No, full jumpsuit.
Full jumpsuit.
Well, if it's going to be masterpiece, then it could actually have sequins.
That's true.
Hot Toys 1/6 scale Honky Tonk Man.
I was about to say you're describing a Hot Toys Honky Tonk Man. Can I say, I was just thinking about this the other day. Why are there no high-end, like, 1/6 scale wrestlers? Like, it seems like a market just bursting at the seams.
Have they backdoored any of those? Like, are there any, like, Hot Toy or Sideshow or Metacom figures of, from, like, movies that starred wrestlers? Like, not Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
They're doing a G.I. Joe Dwayne Johnson, I think. But that's all I've seen. But I'm like, we're, I mean, The Undertaker and Kane are like 10 figure releases alone that yeah. I know people would buy because there are crazy ass fan bases for them.
Do you remember when Undertaker was very first introduced? He was introduced as Kane the Undertaker?
Yes.
But it was Kane with a C.
He was managed by the Million Dollar Man and Brother Love. 1/6 scale Brother Love. With that ghastly, like, tomato red power. I don't know. I think 1/6 scale wrestlers, there must be some kind of license thing preventing it. I can't imagine there would be for an Asian company on wrestlers, but it's just so obvious. I don't understand how it hasn't happened yet. Anyway, second question. Do you think that Masterpiece should go beyond the Honky Tonk Man and give other series such as Beast Wars the Masterpiece treatment? If so, what series do you want to see get the Masterpiece treatment?
Should we actually answer these questions straight at some point?
All I've done is replace the word G1 with the Honky Tonk Man. It's practically the same question. I mean,
well, I'm gonna back it up.
Okay.
I think we've goofed around enough. I'm going to...
There's never goofing around with the Honky Tonk Man.
I know. And this is weird. Because I love going off topic.
What?
But I actually do have an answer for G1 characters. Do we want to see get the Masterpiece treatment? Okay. I want that Masterpiece Huffer to happen. And not just because I'm playing into a retrodden trope that I love Huffer. Which is true. But I thought those drawings of a Masterpiece Huffer looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could do Bumblebee, and weren't we going to do like a rapid fire round news roundup?
I completely forgot about it as soon as we started. Guys, Josh Duhamel's not going to be in Transformers 4, apparently.
Oh, no.
Ah!
And they're going to do Bumblebee and Wheeljack.
We gotta ask Glenn Morshower what he thinks about Transformers 4 with no Josh Duhamel and no Glenn Morshower.
What up with that? Just be like, hey Glenn, what up with that?
I'll just dress up like Shane the Hurricane. What's his name? Drop his catchphrase a few times. Again, another character. Perfect. Yeah. Perfectly set up for a 1/6 scale figure. Hasn't happened.
Right, so they're doing Bumblebee. They're doing Wheeljack.
Yeah.
Bumblebee is apparently as expensive as all the other cars. And I've seen some people questioning why he's going to be so expensive, with the assumption being that he would be smaller. So either he's not going to be smaller, or some people are theorizing he's going to come with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll have to wait and see. But if they're doing Bumblebee, then that opens the door for the little cars. So just do that Huffer.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, Takara Tomy.
You've practically designed Huffer. It. You drew pictures of it. That's like all the work of toy design.
Just do it. Do it. Do it.
Yeah. In light of the poll that they were doing at Tokyo Toy Show,
do it.
I would like to see. Actually, no. I'm answering the wrong question. Damn. I don't know what G1 character I want. I mean, they're all cool.
Chip.
Yay. I mean, G1 humans on the whole would be kind of neat. I I mean, now that the doors are open, if they really are doing Wheeljack and Bumblebee and the doors are that wide open, just go nuts, do them all. I don't have any. Of the G1ers to get Masterpiece treatment, a lot of my favorites, I mean, are the most cliche answers ever. Star Saber!
What about G2 colored Sideswipe?
They're already doing them.
Yeah, they are.
My favorite G1 character, G2 Sideswipe. What's a toy I've been hot on lately?
Hot Toys?
Whoa, man, Hot Toys wrestlers would be pretty cool.
Brother.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of the G1 characters I feel great ties to are now either done on the way or are just, you know, Omega Supreme. Only they would never do him right. So I don't want them to do him because they would just do him wrong and I'd get mad. You know what? DevCon. Give me a G1 Masterpiece DevCon. I want to see what you do with DevCon. That'd be fun. Anyway, second question. Do you think Masterpiece should go beyond G1 and give series such as Beast Wars the Masterpiece treatment? And if so, which series do you want to see get the Masterpiece treatment? Thank you for your time. Hope you have a good day. Click. So, Seth, outside of G1 or the Honky Tonk Man, what would you like to see out of Masterpiece?
You know, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know how excited I would get for a Beast Wars thing because, like, you know, G1, that's what I grew up with. And with how expensive Masterpiece things tend to be, it's got to be a character that I have some emotional connection to drop that kind of money. Now, if they did do a Beast Wars figure that just looked amazing, then, you know, I'm not going to not get it just because it's Beast Wars. But, yeah, I just don't know if any other... Well, because... Like, when you get, like, beyond Beast Wars, and they start getting back into vehicles like Car Robot / RID, it's not real-world cars anymore until you get to the movies. It's all, like, kind of stuff that looks like a real car, but is different enough to not bring the ire of license holders, or they're just completely... fictionalized future cars or space cars, and then it starts becoming less interesting to me because I think it's cooler when they figure out a way to take this real world thing that looks like something real and turn that into a robot than a fantasy vehicle that could look like anything, because that just... Even if the engineering is more complex, in my estimation, it's an easier thing to do if you're turning this robot into a car or a plane that doesn't actually exist, because now you're not constricted by reality in the same way. So I just find Transformers based on real-world objects more interesting. And that's one of the things that keeps me so attached to G1 is because that's what it is. If a new, like, alternators were awesome, those weren't directly G1 translations, but they were real cars. Same with Alternity. They turned into real cars. And I just find that more interesting than fantasy cars.
Hmm.
And then I guess you could argue, then, shouldn't I be interested in Beast Wars because they're turning into real animals? It's like, yeah, I guess so. But I like the vehicle formers more than beast formers.
What I kind of would love to see them try to do is at least a Beast Wars Masterpiece toy where they use, like, weird stuff like flexible skin and real hair and just go all out on it. Like, have an Optimus Primal from season 1. And I mean, there's a custom that was floating around that kind of did it, but the hair was all way too long. Just give it, like, this really short, silky, like, cropped hair and weird, like, muscly rubber bits for the gorilla flesh and see how it turns out. really weird is how it'll turn out, but see how else it turns out.
Yeah, I think you end up with that problem where 5-6 years down the road, the rubber has started disintegrating, and now everybody's bummed out.
They could just make the rubber like gold rubber, and then it would hold together better.
Are you making up things?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Gold rubber syndrome. Anyway, now I'm going to answer the question that I was started to answer before. In light of Takara Tomy's fan vote for an upcoming Masterpiece toy at Tokyo Toy Show, I would love for them to do Masterpiece Armada Optimus Prime, because I would love to see that character design tackled in a way where they aren't trying to fit the admittedly quite interesting infrared auto-transform gimmick into the trailer. Because I kind of like the design of the cab robot in Armada, and the super robot mode has a thing about it that I think is kind of neat, but I would love to see that thing done with actual legs. And just to see how that turns out. And a little Masterpiece Minicon would be neat, too. Because that was a cool Minicon that he came with. Spark Plug or something. I can't remember. I think that was its name. It's the one that's clearly Bumblebee, but they didn't have the rights to use that name at the time. So I'd like to see that.
Yeah, also, that's one of my favorite Prime designs, too. Like, he just looks burly and ready to fight. I always liked that Prime design.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the smaller scale, more articulated one was more fun. I think back then, didn't people like dub that one Bendimus Prime or something?
Bendy Prime was Bendy his name. Prime.
Yeah, that's one. I kind of forgot about that figure. That's one of my, I think that's one of the best Prime toys,
mm-hmm.
personally. For my taste, that's a real good one.
I'd love to see the qualities of that toy's engineering just bulked out into the chunk of the larger cab robot toy, but with all that posability,
mm-hmm.
and then have a trailer that just, like, the inversion of, like, the way the trailer transforms into the legs is really simple, but I'd love to see it taken, like, this whole extra, almost like Yamato-level level, of having it, you know, just turn inside out to turn into legs, but then have all these extra panels and hydraulics, like, fold out from inside to make the giant legs poseable, too. I think that could be kind of neat. So, yeah. Masterpiece can do all kinds of fun stuff. Anyway, we're going to take a quick intermission break. And then we're going to come back with some what we got this week. Did I get anything on topic? We'll find out, ladies and gentlemen, right after this.
I got long side burns and my hair slicked back. I'm coming to your town in my pink Cadillac. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky, I'm bad. I pick a mean guitar, I wear a blue suede shoes. You ought to hear me sing the snakeskin blues. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm just a honky-tonk man. I'm cool, I'm cocky, I'm bad. Bro, Elvis, let the honky-tonk man show you how to rock and roll. Beside me, the colonel's in the back. I'm coming to your town in my pink Cadillac. I'm just a honky tonk man. Just a honky tonk man. I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool, I'm cocky, I'm bad. I'm just a honky tonk man. 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 I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm bad. I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm ba ba ba.
I think I'm getting sick.
Good.
You know what?
Because I'm sick too, but I'm sick of you.
I think it's better that I get sick now and get it out of the way so I'm healthy on Wednesday when I fly.
Uh-huh.
So that I won't have a repeat of BotCon 2011 where my face bled everywhere and I was deathly sick for a day and a half.
Oh, yeah, that was fun when we were recording that podcast and you just leave.
Yeah, because I was like, well, I don't want to
don't know what to do.
I don't want to start openly bleeding in front of people, so I'm just going to...
So we're trying to keep the show going and sending you text messages like, are you ever coming out of the bathroom? And you're like, my face is on blood. Face equal blood.
That was so annoying because I was like, it wasn't even freaked out by how long I was bleeding out of my face. I was just like, I would like for this to stop sometime. I know I'm not I almost said a hypochondriac. I am. Hemophiliac. Like, I know my platelets work. So maybe if they could start working, that would be great.
You're just jamming toilet paper up your nose like, I don't understand why this is happening. I know my platelets work. I've checked. I'm going to call customer service in the morning and complain.
Hello, Surgeon General. I'm visiting your country, and in your country, my platelets don't work. Why?
No, you call, like, a church, and you start yelling at a priest about it as though they're the customer service representative of God. Just like, I have a design, or I have a QA problem.
There's something wrong with the nasal platelets.
Quality control problem. My nose seems to be malfunctioning.
When it bleeds, it just keeps bleeding.
Priest is like, I don't think my son can help you. It's like, I want to talk to your manager. Put me on the line with the cardinal.
Just like, give me the Pope.
Yeah, you just work your way up the chain. All of a sudden, you're yelling at the Pope, and he's like, what's happening?
And I'm like, wait, which Pope are you?
He's, like, covering the phone with his hand so you can't hear, and he's, like, turned to an aide or something. It's like, how did this person get through? Like, who let this happen?
I want to talk to the other Pope!
If you can't help me, then get the other one. The German one. The mean one.
Yeah, and if he... Now, you know what? I mean, you guys can commune, right? Just get me Pope Johnny, too. He knows me. Anyway, no religion discussion in the podcast thread. Hey, Seth, hey. Did you get any Transformers this week?
No, I'm afraid not.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, as we were talking earlier in the show, I have a bunch in a pile of loot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I'm probably gonna... You know what I think I'm gonna do? I'm not going to ship over the weekend because I know it's not going to move over the weekend.
Yeah.
So there's no point in doing it now. I'm going to wait till Monday. If nothing else goes into my pile of loot Monday, then I'll pull the trigger. Because, you know, it takes one day processing, one day in the warehouse. Then you get the email that says your item is shipped. But it hasn't. They just printed the label.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another day before it actually starts moving. And then it's 5 days once it gets to UPS. So to get it in time for the next show, I should ship early next week. So I'll give them Monday.
All right.
Just to make sure none of these off-topic things I have listed for this month happen.
Yeah,
and then that Santa Rosa Toy Con is next weekend, so maybe I'll get something there.
I've got Downforce in a pile of loot, and I've got the Transformers Go Samurai bots in a private warehouse. And the private warehouse I would ship right now, but I know I won't if it arrives next week. I'm going to be away anyway. And if I can wait till the end of the month, then I can wait until that Ratbat comes out and ship him with everything else. So I'd rather do that. As much as I am chomping at the bit to get my hands on the Transformers Go Samurais, If I just have to wait till I get back from BotCon to ship it, then I'll treat myself to an EMS shipping so I at least get it in the same week.
Or have it shipped to the hotel at BotCon. Oh.
I have a suspicion. I have a suspicion that some crazy dealer is getting the Transformers Go Samurai robots like overnighted to BotCon so that he can sell them there. And I suspect that if he does, they're going to cost crazy, stupid markups.
Yeah.
And I bet some, at least one person will buy the trio on site because then they can get like the newest Japanese toy at the show. And that's a huge draw for newbies to BotCon. It was for me for years. I did that for Galaxy Force Soundwave, I believe.
Well, and then they're going to run back to their room with it so they can have the first video review on YouTube.
That's right, except they all got scooped by Japanese fans who went to Tokyo Toy Show, so they can all suck it.
But those videos are in Japanese.
That's true.
These will be in English.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Those round-eyed devils.
I'm opening mine wider. So that's our Transformers, what we got. Hope you all enjoyed that segment.
Sorry, listeners.
Yeah, we failed you. You know what? I could have spent $17 on the new generation's Legends Prime and Roller, but I didn't because it was $17. So, I apologize.
I have spent a bunch of money on on-topic stuff. It's just not in my possession yet.
Yeah, how was you supposed to talk about it? Yeah. You want to just start lying? Like, to start making things up?
Yeah, what do you think this is? Moonbase 2?
Yeah. Neither of us are Welsh.
Yeah.
Mikey.
Or liars, like Andy.
Yeah. Big ol' liar. Andy Millman.
Yeah, way to name yourself after a Ricky Gervais character.
Really?
Yeah, in Extras, Ricky Gervais's character is named Andy Millman.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's where TFW Cobra Commander got his fake name.
They were saying he named himself
after that show.
His real name is Cobra Commander TFW.
No, that's another fake name.
What?
His real name is a secret.
Where does this all lead? Under every secret.
Well, you've seen him.
I have.
You've been in his presence.
He's tall.
And he looks shockingly like a young Jerry Seinfeld.
Somewhat.
So obviously, he's Jerry Seinfeld come forward in time, disguising himself as an Englishman, and chose the name Andy Millman. That's the only logical explanation of what's happening.
You know what corroborates this is that Twitter account of what if Seinfeld was still going on, giving episode summaries of a modern Seinfeld.
Uh-huh.
It must be like a prototyping system that eventually our Andy, yeah, I'm doing quotes, will synchronize with.
Or young Jerry.
Young
from
Jerry.
The past.
Yes.
Will go back in time and make episodes of Seinfeld based on the data mined from the Twitter feed.
Oh, man. So obvious.
It's the only way to explain why that show was so popular.
Oh, by the way, if you guys want to hear a commentary track for the Chronicles of Riddick, myself and Andy and Mikey all recorded one, and it should be out sometime in July.
You mean yourself, Mikey, and Jerry?
I like to call him Andy so that I can, you know, when he does the big reveal, I'll just keep calling him Andy. I'll be like, you know who you are to me? You're my Andy. That's who you are.
Now that we've exposed him, he's going to send Julia Louis-Dreyfus to murder us.
I could take her.
You think?
Listen, man.
She's a ninja.
I got Jeet Kune Do on my side.
She's a ninja.
Jeet Kune Do!
Is that an Irish martial arts?
Maybe.
What happened there?
I've got Jeet Kune Do on my side. Ah! Oh, man. I think we should talk about what we got off topic this week.
Okay.
All right. Seth, what did you get that was off topic this week?
Yo, have you ever heard of Nerf guns?
Hey, you know, you're getting a head start on what's going to soon be the next Lego.
Oh, man. So I could be the new Aaron?
That's right. You're the Aaron who talks about firearms.
Aaron, soft, foamy firearms.
Aaron creates, Seth destroys.
That's a great tagline for something. Maybe Aaron and I should splinter off and do our own Nerf / Lego podcast.
That'd be the weirdest, most discordant podcast ever. But I think that's a good idea. Just jump from Lego news stories to Nerf news stories.
Yeah, well, related, I went out and bought a Dremel. So I could more quickly remove logos and copyright information and stuff. And sand. Like, there'll be hand sanding involved in these paint jobs, but I found that hand sanding the gigantic Nerf logo off was really time consuming and tiring. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna get in trouble. And yeah, then I'll just go until it's gone. So I got a Dremel. T16 Skyhop from Twitter. He sends me a message saying, hey, you want this Nerf Vortex Vigilon? I'm like, are you getting rid of it? And he goes, I got it really cheap and I don't need any more. You could just pay shipping. I'm like, all right. So I got one of those to add to the pile. Then I went to Toys R Us and they had a sale going on. Nerf blasters and Super Soakers, which Super Soaker has been folded into Nerf. Mm-hmm. As has Laser Tag has been folded into Nerf. So the deal was buy one, get one of equal or lesser value at 40% off. So I was there in the Nerf blaster aisle hemming and hawing and trying to figure out, like, okay, I got to pick out at least two. Now, whenever it's one of those kind of pricing deals, like an equal or lesser value thing, I can't stand the idea of a large price discrepancy between the two items. Like the idea of, like, I'm going to get this $30 thing and this $12 thing, knowing the 40% off's coming off the $12 thing and the $30 thing's full price. I can't. It feels like I'm losing. They've got to be the same price or very, very close, like within a couple of bucks. So I'm looking at some of the more expensive blasters. I'm like, yeah, I think I could do something with that. But like, I already have a Retaliator. Like, if I get a second Retaliator, then I could use parts in different ways. But I don't really want to get stuck with multiples of this part that I can't imagine a use for. I will put this Rampage that's a similar price. Like, the only thing I want from that is the ammo drum, the whole rest of the gun. Like, I don't want that. And then they had some older Nerf gun still in stock, like some of the previous year model ones that aren't readily available anymore. So I'm like, Mavericks, but like everybody does a Maverick. I'm like, oh, they got some Fireflies, and Fireflies do cool stuff, but I don't really know about the shape, and I don't know. So what I ended up doing was settling on a Strong Arm, which is like the updated version of the Maverick, or the updated Maverick. So it's a revolver. It primes the same way. It's very similar to the Maverick, except for there's some changes in the general shape. The air restrictors are built into the blaster, not the rotating ammo drum.
Mm-hmm.
The revolver barrel part. So that's smaller, which gives the whole thing a little more narrow of a profile. And then a few other differences. So I decided, I'll get one of these. And then I'm looking for something similar priced, and I'm not really seeing anything I want. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to head over to the Super Soakers. I'm going to see what's going on over there. So a Super Soaker I had been tempted to get for a little while now, the Thunderstorm, was very close in price to the Strong Arm, so I ended up going for that. So I got a Thunderstorm Super Soaker, which sounds like this when you pull the trigger.
Oh my god! What was that?
That is a battery-powered water pistol.
So what was gyrating? Is that like...
That's a motor inside.
What does it do?
So I found a video where a dude opened one up and was pointing out how the parts work. So, okay, you're in a public bathroom and they have a soap dispenser, like the liquid soap kind.
Yeah.
Where you kind of put your palm up underneath it, and with the back of your palm, you push the little handle and then the soap squirts down. So the way the soap loads into those units is the soap is in a bag. There's a rubber tube with the nozzle, and you mount it so the nozzle is flush coming out the bottom of the holder. And when you press in that handle, it squeezes the tube. The pressure of the tube squeezing and releasing causes the soap to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I know this because at work we used to have those, and every now and then the soap would run out in the dispenser, but the bags and nozzles were in the bathroom, and somebody would just open one of the boxes and not have the little key to open this dispenser thing. And what we would have to do is just sort of massage the rubber tube to get the soap out. So I know how that works because of I'm squeezing the rubber tube, and it's kind of like milking a cow, like a similar concept, like how milking an udder works. It's kind of how these rubber tubes work. So that's what's happening inside the Thunderstorm. There's a rubber tube that comes up from the water reservoir out to the barrel. The motor spins this little plastic weight. So kind of like how the rumble in a gamepad or the vibration in a cell phone, how that little thing that spins is like an off-kilter weight.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like that. So when this thing spins, it's like an off-centered piece. So as it comes around, it hits that rubber tube. So it's spinning by squeezing and releasing on that tube, which is pumping the water up out of the detachable clip that the water's stored in. Like, this is actually a magazine of water. And you can buy extras of these, and you can pull it out, pop in a new one, and keep squirting.
Okay, so that combined with the fact that a hydrophobic spray is now on the American market is making me tempted by a Super Soaker.
Yeah, and from some videos I've seen, like, this isn't the best Super Soaker on the market as far as ranges and whatnot, but that's not why I got it. I got it because I also like the shape of it. It looks like a submachine gun. So do you know what this thing looks like?
No.
I think I showed you a picture of it last time because I was interested in them at the time.
I kind of remember that scenario, at least.
I'm sure when you see it, you will remember.
I'll have a grand moment of remembrance. Adult there fans of... So they're called Aphons? I remember this.
This is cool. I did a Google image search. That was the first
adult image, fans of Nerf.com. They're just like the Lego people.
Okay.
All right. That's just more credence towards the podcast you and Aaron can start running.
Well, like how Nerf blasters have a clip system where those clips work across a bunch of blasters.
Mm-hmm.
Super Soaker clip system weapons work across several blasters, and they even have like a big giant drum.
Man.
Like a big water barrel that you could attach to it.
I want to see that attached to this little pistol.
And actually,
using it one-handed.
Here's a picture of the thing opened up so you could see the motor and the tube and stuff. Too bad I didn't find this image while I was trying to describe it, then you could follow it along.
Okay, I see now. It's spinny bit in the middle.
Yeah. And you could even see in that picture how the tube is kind of crimped a little bit.
Yeah. I would like to suggest the name for you and Aaron's podcast as being Moist Foam Bricks.
You want to take another try at that?
MFB. Oh, that was good. Welcome to another episode of MFB. My name's Aaron the Science Man. Joining me today is Seth and his rack of guns.
Aaron, he cooks his steaks in water. Seth shoots people with water.
That's cool. I had no idea that Super Soaker... Like, I just assumed it was kind of like a brand takeover. I didn't think Super Soaker would have, like, battery-powered magazine technology involved in it.
Yeah, I think they have a couple battery-powered, but, like, the rest are, like, what you traditionally imagine, where you pump it up and squirt, squirt, squirt.
Man. Like, literally, it is because of that never-wet hydrophobic spray that makes me want to get a little water gun just so I can, like... I can make things hydrophobically coated and then spray them with a water gun and see what happens.
You could be... Like, that would be, like, armor in a water gun battle.
Yes.
Like, find... I'm sure there's some gang of hipsters in the Toronto area that has, like, water gun battles in the summer. And then, like, you show up in, like, clothing coated with the never wet stuff, and you're just like, none could touch me. I am the untouchable.
Oh, it was in the never wet video that's circulating right now. The CEO has a t-shirt that's coated with never wet, and they just start throwing like mustard and Coke and stuff at him, and it just like slides right off.
You could get two of these thunderstorms, because once they're battery powered, you could dual wield them easily.
Oh,
and like a whole belt of clips full of water. And while like, people are squirting you and you're not getting wet, you're like doing like Chow Young fat, slow motion, dual wielding spins and crazy nonsense.
Yes.
And the whole time it sounds like.
Yeah, that twice is what it sounds like if I have two of them up.
Stereo.
Oh, man.
And then one runs out of water, and you just pull your finger from the trigger to the release, and it drops to the ground, and you reach down to your belt, and you grab another clip full of water, and...
Oh, man.
And you're spinning around the whole time.
It's the whole thing of the clips. Like, clips of darts and clips of water. It's just, like, this whole extra level of... silliness in a good way. Man. Well, I'm sold.
And that is all I got this week.
I'll just continue the trend and say, hey, Seth. Thanks. Because Seth got me a Nerf gun.
Yeah. You seem... so excited last time.
I tripped over the box on my way to work, and I was like, when the hell did I ever order something that would be in this large box? So I was actually late for work because I was like, I need to knife this open right now. And then I opened it and I started laughing. And I was like, oh, man. It's the Raven CS-18. And it has a magazine, what makes noises like this. And then when you push the button, it goes like that. And then you just start firing. And it fires so smooth and so fast. And then the clip has light in it, so as your bullets, your darts, whatever, can glow in the dark. This thing is friggin' cool. It's much nicer just in use than the barricades that I have had with me since 2011, because those things have a spinning chamber that just likes to get itself jammed all the time. This magazine system is friggin' cool, and I want more of these light up magazines.
Now that was the blue and white version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine is green. But as best I know, it functions exactly the same. It's just a different paint job.
And the magazine on mine is green. It's got a little the little fire bug on the front.
Yeah, I don't think they changed anything with the magazine, or if they did, it was very minor change.
Although the one thing that made me blink at first, because I'd missed it before, was I was like, all right, how many batteries does it need? Like 3, 4? And it's like 7 AA's, not included. And I was 7. Like, what? And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, wait, because there's 1 for the clip to have the light that lights up the glow-in-the-dark stuff, and then there's 4 for the gun. That makes more sense.
Oh, yeah, so jumping back to my Raven, I did forget something else that I got this week. So it has 2 mounting rails on it, 1 across the top and 1 on the side. And I had gotten that cheap scope last time to put on it. I found a flashlight / laser sight combo. So it's like both little things on a bracket that fits on a mount rail. So I got that to stick on the side rail. So my Raven, when I have the Firefly clip in, 4 batteries in the gun, 3 batteries in the clip, a battery in the flashlight, a battery in the laser pointer. And then I got this small video camera that attaches to a rail. So if I take that sight off, put the camera on, that's another battery.
So you can weigh your gun down heavily if you so choose.
So I have up to 10 batteries on my Raven.
I think this thing's legit cool. And like the number, like the 18 dart clip is just the right size to be like, this is so silly, but it feels so good. Because it's like 10 inches long. And you just get all the darts in a bag, and I'm like, that's so many darts to fill this clip with. So I'm used to Mavericks and Barricades, which have like 6 to 8 darts in them. Now I have a thing with 18 darts in it. So it's
that
very cool.
32. You should get that 32 dart drum and mod it with LEDs.
I don't know that. The drum looks cool, but I like the kind of cold, calculating, rectangular slab nature of the clips. Like, I just want to mod like a clip to be really like stupidly long, like a 3-foot long clip.
Well, you could get 2 and strap them together, so you can pull it out, flip it, stick it back in.
That's a really good idea.
I sent you a link of that water drum clip.
But yeah, I've been nerfed. So thank you, Seth.
Yeah. Here you go. Here's another link for you.
That was a cool thing to trip over in the morning.
Boom. Link to Hasbro Toy Shop for you.
Oh dear. In stock. Oh dearie me.
Firefly clip and 18 more darts.
Oh me, oh my.
Faith and begorra.
Potato.
Oh, my shillelagh.
It's green, you see. The clip is green. I did get some other things.
The Blarney Stone.
I got some other things this week. I did spend around $18 at a comic store, but not on a Legends Transformer. I bought a Nika. I bought a Nika toy
at a comic book store for $18. That is not a Legend Transformer.
I bought a Xenomorph Warrior. Now, the link I sent you shows the two other Marines from Aliens that got figures in this wave. I didn't get them because I wanted the Alien. But there's the current wave is the first series of Nika figures for Aliens, the James Cameron one, Hudson Hicks and the Xenomorph Warrior. I just got the Xenomorph Warrior, but I will mention that Hudson has the best head sculpt I've ever seen of a guy freaking out.
Isn't he the Game Over Man guy?
Yep.
Yeah. Why don't you want a Hudson though?
I only wanted one toy, and I wanted the Alien first. I can get the other two anytime. There were lots of the other two. but the Alien is pretty cool. It's big, and it's pretty posable. It's got a wire posable tail. The only bummer I've had with it is that it's got an ab joint, and it looks like it has room for an ab crunch, but it doesn't have it. Also, the ball joint on the head has a really sadly limited range, and so it always feels like the head's hunched just a tad too much. But otherwise, it's a super solid figure, and it's kind of cool. Like, it's the army buildable one, because it's just from the Alien Xenomorph Warrior Hordes. So you can get a whole bunch of them if you want. And I just got, the other month, the original movie Predator that Nika did. So I could get, like, two more of these aliens and have Predator fight three aliens and feel really cool. But,
Now, you have a Reveltech alien, right?
I forgot if I sold that at 80s Toy Expo.
You had a Reveltech alien, right?
Yes.
How do they compare?
Okay, so this one is brown instead of blue.
Ugh.
Which is the color-wise, that is the small bummer with it. So I like the look of the blue more. This one's a lot bigger. And I find that it has a lot more poses I can do because it's not hindered by the limitations of the Reveltech joint clicks.
Uh-huh.
So there's more, I think there's overall more options, but the Reveltech figure was way more poseable in the neck and the torso. Whereas this one is a little bit disappointingly limited in its head and torso poseability. Also the shoulders don't go out as far as I would have liked. They're on a weird kind of pseudo ratchet, and then maybe it's the Nika paint stuck syndrome happening. I don't think it is though. I feel like they could have gone another click or two out. But you can get this guy, aside from his head, you can get this guy into a very convincing, you can go from a standing pose to a really convincing, crawling forward on all fours pose. And the wire in the tail feels pretty strong, whereas the Reveltech wire always felt a tad flimsier. And in this case, a lot of these things are also the fact that the Nika figure is just much bigger. I don't have a ruler anywhere near me, but it's at least, 8 inches tall, I would say. So it's more.
Well, that seems to be their average human size character is scaled to 8 inches.
Yeah.
So maybe it's slightly taller.
Yeah,
maybe it's 9.
I think it's a tad taller. But it's a cool figure, and also the 401 Games was selling it for $17 before tax. So it was under $20 for me to buy this figure. And so for a sub $20 figure, it's pretty cool.
Are you gonna have it fight your half-naked Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I didn't get the half-naked one. I saw him. But I already have two Arnold Schwarzeneggers. I don't know if I need four.
Okay, well, are you going to make it fight any of your Arnold Schwarzeneggers?
Probably. It seems like a good idea.
Hey, speaking of aliens and Hicks and Hudson and Space Marines and pulse rifles, specifically pulse rifles, you know Airsoft?
Yeah. What's this link you've sent me?
There's a link.
Oh, that looks nice.
Airsoft pulse rifle.
Does the counter work?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be cool if the counter works.
I was looking for things to attach to rail things, and I found myself on an Airsoft web store, and they were sold out of this pulse rifle, but I was like, what? That looks cool, like what? And it was like a couple hundred bucks, but they were sold out. So then I was like, okay, cool. I don't have to think about it anymore.
If someone could have it make the noise, even though it's not actually shooting that fast, that would be the best. But I got one other pair of, it's actually a pair of things, but I got one other off-topic item on my list of off-topic things.
Pants? Did you get a pair of pants?
No, but I need to I need to wash a pair of pants tonight. They're getting worn. But I got my SH Figure Arts Iron Man Mark VI and War Machine. These are the first SH Figure Arts Iron Man toys. And they took like 18 days to get here, so everyone got them before I did. And I was able to be clued in on a few things. But they're very well done.
How did they compare to Reveltex?
They are better than the Reveltex.
I knew you were going to say that.
They are categorically better than the Reveltex, in my opinion. The articulation on them is fantastic. It is fantastic. The way that the on both of them that the torso joints work is that it's actually like layers of plating that kind of like slides around over and like it literally looks like actual armor plating moving around. It's beautiful. The shoulder connections are able to look gappy if you do things a certain way. And that's a bit of a bummer, but otherwise it's a beautifully done, figure base. They both kind of share the same base, skeleton. War Machine does feel like the more solid of the two, but I kind of like the Iron Man Mark VI. I've seen a lot of chatter about how the proportions on it look, how the chin looks and stuff. It looks like Iron Man to me. I mean, that's all I really need. It comes with all these great effects parts. There's one thing that's kind of annoying, and I can see why they did it. When all the flaps open up on the back of Iron Man or War Machine, they are usually like you pull the closed flap off and plug the open flap on rather than actually open little flaps. And I think that this is at 6-inch scale. I think at the 6-inch scale, there is, I think, a way that perhaps these could have been done as actual opening flaps that wouldn't have been really flimsy. But on the bright side, the way they are done currently with part swapping is dead solid once you have everything set up. And they're really a really well-done pair of figures. I'm happy that I was regretting the impulse pre-order I'd made some time ago, and I'm actually feeling pretty good about it now.
What kind of money do these go for?
They were around 50 each out of Japan. I believe they're 60 each at Big Bad Toy Store. But I might be mistaken. Big Bad should have both of them still.
Yeah, like 50 to 60 seems to be about average for 6-inch import, like high quality figures.
Yeah.
So.
And
I don't know if I would go for them. I mean, looking at these pictures, they do seem pretty nice.
Yeah, they have cool features. War Machine has all of his extra like missile launchers and stuff that kind of part swap in. For whatever reason, you can actually like unlatch and remove the machine guns from his forearms. And he comes with a whole bunch of effect parts as well. War Machine is weird because on the back of his shins, the boosters actually have a working flap, which can then be removed for a static, more open flap piece. So I guess those are like just some display options if you want to go through the part swap or not. The only thing I found troublesome on War Machine is it's kind of difficult to get the covers off of his shoulders, like on his collarbone, to put the missile launcher or the little laser gun there. It can be a bit difficult, but it's not impossible. And the way that his back machine gun is mounted makes posing it oddly difficult, because it's super movie accurate, so the way the joints work can be a bit tricky. But the ammo feeds are really nicely done piece of flexible rubber, and there's this cool gunfire effects bits. So these two figures both feel great. I really like them. At least maybe I lucked out, but mine feel fantastic. And it's kind of cool that they're in scale with the rest of. I think they're close to in scale with the rest of my figure arts, so I can have like the more Iron Man-like Kamen Rider characters like G3, all the armored-up guys, like team up with Tony Stark and Rhodey and go off and wreck some dudes' days. So,
because I have a couple Reveltech Iron Man, and I have the Reveltech War Machine, and I just don't think I'm enough of a Iron Man fan to get any more Iron Man for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have my Reveltech. I had two Reveltech Iron Man. I had the 4 and the 6. And in light of the announcement of these two, I got rid of them because I just figured I will like these more. And personally, I do. The big issue on the Iron Man that I've seen toted around, and I mean, I can see it in the side-by-side picture with the Reveltech, is that the head sculpt takes a lot of liberties. It's a very flat, long head sculpt for the Iron Man helmet, and that has bothered some people. So, you know, get a good look at pictures before you pick it up if you're considering it. But they're really well done. To me, they're my definitive little Iron Man toys. Although I saw the Nika quarter scale Iron Man Mark 7 and I've started eyeing it because it looked really pretty. And apparently it's a really well done quarter scale figure, but I'd never bought a quarter scale figure before. So I don't know if I want to.
Yeah, that stuff's too big for me.
Yeah, it's apparently the big victory of the Nika quarter scale Iron Man is that he's really poseable, and usually quarter scale isn't from Nika. So he's like a sub-$100 toy that's pretty poseable, 18 inches tall, and has like 4 super bright LEDs mounted inside his body. And I'm like, that sounds really cool, but where will I ever put this? Do I need an 18-inch tall Iron Man figure? I don't know.
Do you need a Logan Long Torso Edition Wolverine?
Logan,
check out that picture. I saw these at Toys R Us. There were like these bigger size Wolverine toys, but it just looks like they stretched out his body.
It's just the one part of his body. It looks like he has 2 sets of pectorals.
Yeah, like his whole torso and abdomen is like really long and narrow. So he has like this really long, narrow body.
It looks like the Hulk grabbed him and pulled on him and he healed wrong.
Yeah, he like taffied out.
Ew, that thing looks weird.
Yeah, I saw him sitting there. I'm like, these look terrible.
Like those bath toy Transformers Prime figures that are popping up everywhere. Optimus Prime and the Bumblebee. It looks similar to that. But that's all that I got this week. So that's our podcast for this week. Yeah. Both of them. So thank you for joining us, everybody. Yeah. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, our Google voicemail inbox number is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830. I am slowly but steadily losing consciousness. And my name's Vangelis.
My name's Seth.
Hello.
Hi.
We'll talk to you guys later.
I like fat trucks.
I'll see some of you maybe at BotCon. I don't know. Say hi.
I'm gonna see you mean.
Good night.
Bye.
But you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.